Hey, everybody. Cody Pasby back with you. It's another episode of Wax Packs and Warning Tracks, Mojo Breaks Baseball Card Podcast. About a week and a half into the season now, time to make some grand assessments, right? No, not so much. It's time to sit back and maybe appreciate some of the guys that we are not going to see playing Major League Baseball for very much longer. I want to talk about some Hall of Fame guys, future Hall of Fame guys, and I've got the perfect guest to do it. Mike Moynihan, you know him on YouTube as the Baseball Collector. He's also on YouTube as part of Bench Clear Media, and he's got a vintage sports card podcast, The Golden Age of Cardboard. Make sure to check all of those out. I talked to Mike about some of these future Hall of Fame players that maybe the hobby needs to appreciate a little more, and where some of these guys will land many years from now when it's our kids and our grandkids, even our great-grandkids, oof, got a little chill right there, collecting these cards down the road. Where will they be? Are they going to be the Mickey Mantles, the 52 Mantles, the 51 Willie Mays, heck, the T206 Onis Wagner? Is that how these kids are going to look at the 2009 Bowman Chrome Mike Trout? I don't know. We're going to talk about that. Plus, talk about some of the performers of the last week in our segment, The Taxi Squad. Who's part of the Taxi Squad? Who are we calling up? Who are we sending down? And who is staying put? I talk about that and much more with Mike Moynihan. Check out the conversation right now. How did you get going on YouTube with Baseball Collector and your other ventures as well?
Yeah, so 9 years ago, I made my first video, and it, you know, for probably a year or so before that, I was watching content on YouTube of people mainly breaking boxes and stuff, and a few guys showing stuff off and showing off their card rooms. And I'm like, you know, I got some pretty cool stuff. Maybe some people would enjoy me showing off parts of my collection. And the first early videos are terrible, as most of us probably experience. And then just kept acquiring things and adding stuff. And I've done six iterations of my card room as I change things around and all kinds of stuff. And it's just been a great platform to showcase my collection, make so many great friends within the hobby, and know that there's just so many more people out there that are crazy like me and love sports cards. So
yeah, absolutely. And things have obviously picked up these last few years, you know, people getting back into it. I can speak for myself, going from collecting as a kid, getting back into the stuff, finding those shoe boxes filled with cards from when you were collecting as a kid, and then reacquiring stuff, acquiring new stuff. I was saying to you off the air that I think what attracted me to your channel is that I just kind of naturally gravitate to the vintage stuff when I'm looking online at videos, or when I'm at a show here and there. That's the stuff to me that is the most interesting. Just the design of it, just maybe I'm an old soul, but that's the stuff that I, to me, gravitate to. So I wanted to talk to you about, I guess, the advantages of collecting vintage, piecing vintage over maybe hunting after the big modern stuff. For you, what do you think the pros and cons of going after the vintage stuff rather than maybe hunting for those huge white whale cards that we see for modern collecting?
Well, it's actually a pretty simple story to tell, really. All the players that are in that vintage era, and I look at vintage as anything 1980 and before. Once right. 81 happens, you've got Fleer and Donruss coming onto the scene, and then late 80s, you know, Upper Deck, Score, all the other stuff. So vintage is really post-war, like pre-war is its whole category. Vintage is really, you know, post-war, post-World War II to 1980. Why it's attractive with a pro of it is all those players that have cards in that era, their story has already been told. They can't, you know, bust their knee or have Tommy John surgery or have a slump or whatever. It's already a done deal. And so I think everybody begins as a modern collector. When I started in 1981, I didn't have a gap. I've collected since 1981. So 40 plus years, of collecting. I collected in the 80s players that I watched, Don Mattingly and Alvin Davis and, you know, all these guys that were supposed to be the next big thing. And even, you know, so everybody starts, I think, collecting players they can watch. And I get that, especially as a kid. As you get older, though, I think a lot of collectors, I don't transition, maybe mature in their collecting. They're like, you know, the new stuff is great. That's cool. And I buy new stuff from time to time. I buy a top set every year. I buy a heritage set every year because I love heritage. And then, but you go, you know, I love the history so much. You learn so much more about the game as you age and as you just acquire more knowledge over time. And that stuff just has such great stories. I never saw Mickey Mantle play. I never saw Clemente or Jackie Robinson or Hank Aaron or Babe Ruth. But I love reading stories about them. I know what they meant to the game and their impact into the game's history. And that attracts me to their cards. The cards are always just the connection, right?
Right.
To a memory, to a story, to a whatever. And so for me, over the last 15 years or so, I've really focused on Hall of Fame collecting, collecting Hall of Famers, because as a former, you know, recovering player collector, as I used to be, I'd collected Daryl Strawberry was my first one. And then, who was a you know, early to mid 80s, early 90s guy that I just loved his swing. I loved the way he played. And, I collected him. Then I moved to Juan Gonzalez, and then I moved to Yvonne Rodriguez and Josh Hamilton and a bunch of Rangers, because I'm a Rangers fan. And so through that process, I learned, you know what? God, I hit really on one. Yvonne Rodriguez was the only one that ended up being a Hall of Famer out of that entire group. Although a lot of those guys had great careers, it just, Hamilton was my last one. I put so much money into Hamilton stuff, and I'm like, this guy just can't stay healthy towards the end of his career. And he didn't do much when he went to the Angels, and it broke my heart when he went to the Angels anyway, as a Rangers fan. And so I was like, enough with this. I'm just going to collect the great players of all time.
Yeah.
And really focus on that. And so the big pro again is their story's already told. You know, they can't get arrested they can get arrested for DUI if they're still alive, but it won't really affect their career.
Yeah.
Right? Their career story has already been told. So that's the biggest pro.
Yeah. I do want to ask, are there any players that you feel like Hall of Fame was? You mentioned Bud Rodriguez, who, Hall of Famer, you know, I think just in general catchers, I think are pretty underrated, for collectors. Any Hall of Fame guys that are on your radar that you think deserve a little more love with the vintage collecting community?
Oh, with the vintage collecting community?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call Pudge vintage, really. I mean,
right.
Retired, but
maybe some retired Hall of Famers, I guess I should rephrase.
Sure.
That maybe deserve a little more love in the collector community.
Well, there's guys that have niches, of people that love them, but I would say overall a guy that's highly underrated in the hobby is a guy like Frank Robinson.
Yeah.
Or a guy like even Stan Musial, as great as he was, because he played his entire career in St. Louis, he wasn't in New York. He doesn't have the same hobby profile that Mantle or Mays have. And that's unfortunate. I mean, look up Musial stats. He's one of the, it's eyeball. If somebody did that today, what Musial did over his career, forget about it. Their stuff would be astronomical. And that's, you know, a funny thing about vintage is time makes people forget, unfortunately. Again, unless you're a St. Louis homer, you know, you might not understand the greatness of Stan Musial. So he's underappreciated in the hobby. Catchers, I would say, you know, Bench is probably the best catcher of all time, and his stuff is still reasonably affordable, and especially his rookie card. It's shocking how affordable his rookie card is, 1968 tops. So it's just ebbs and flows with where you are and the region you're in. And time takes no prisoners, you know, it marches on and people forget things about how great these guys were.
Yeah, the Stan Musial one too, and maybe it's just that Mays and Mantle have the advantage of being like in an iconic set too, with 52 Tops, the 51 Bowman, Mays, an iconic card. So it does surprise me though that as good as incredible as he was, and you said it, the stats, you look at them, they're jaw dropping. And I was fortunate when I was working here at Mojo Break, and I was opening one of my favorite underrated products, the Historic Cut Autos, and pulled the Stan Musial. And to me, maybe one of the coolest things I have ever pulled out of a box is that cut auto of Stan Musial. So totally echo the sentiment there that Stan the man deserves a lot more love in the hobby. Maybe we just maybe we're right before the Stan the man explosion in the hobby. I hope so. You mentioned you're a Rangers fan. I do. This is kind of a little off topic. What do you think of that that bases loaded walk this weekend? I never would have expected to see that again in 2022.
Well, I hadn't seen it since Bonds was walked with the bases loaded a long time ago. I read a stat today that because actually the Angels were behind when they walked him with the bases loaded. That hadn't happened since 1881.
Jeez.
So let's just say it's not likely you're going to see it again in your life. Unless Joe Maddon does it again. I don't know. He's that crazy. And they ended up winning the game. The Angels won. So it worked out. I mean, Seager had hit a bomb the night before, and I think Maddon just didn't want the game to get out of hand, allowing one run versus potentially four, I think was a better trade for him in the deal. Never seen it before. Nobody's seen it since 1881 when a team was behind walking a player with the bases loaded. But hey, it's good to see it on my fantasy team. So I liked that. But it was crazy.
Yeah. Event. Don't think we'll ever see that again. I think Bonds, there may have been one other. I want to say I read that that Josh Hamilton might have been maybe in the early 2000s, but not in it. We haven't. I feel like didn't get nearly the publicity, but just absolutely crazy. For maybe Joe Maddon does another game. It almost blew up in his face. I think he gave up two runs in that inning because of that. So as much as he might want to say, you know what, it worked out exactly how we did, there was probably a moment where he's thinking, I'm going to be in the record books for all the wrong reasons after tonight. this did not go the way I had planned. Let's use that to transition over to some modern guys. And what I'm calling sort of the new vintage, maybe 30, 40 years down the road, the cards that the kids and the grandkids are going to be saying, boy, those are the ones where they look at it like the 52 Mantles and the Honus Wagners, even if you want to go that far. A few players that I had in mind, sort of either players that are pretty much destined for the Hall of Fame or are recently retired or very close to retiring, specifically because there's two guys on this list that are about to hit some major milestones here in 2022.
I bet I can name them.
Yeah, go right ahead.
You're going to say Pujols and Cabrera.
That would be it. Let's start with those two guys right off the bat. Albert Pujols right now, I've been watching a little bit of his highlights. Eddie, I've been seeing him pop up on highlights for a lot more in the last maybe week than I had maybe the last 3 or 4 years. He looks completely rejuvenated in St. Louis. Maybe it's the final year that is kind of giving him a little bit of the fountain of youth, but he looks great. He's 19 home runs away from 700, batting over 300 in only about 17, 18 plate appearances so far, but nonetheless, it's great to see him doing well. And I do feel like there has been a bit of a resurgence and an appreciation for him, not only among baseball fans, but I think in the card collecting community. What do you think about Albert Pujols in the future in the hobby here? What do you think he's going to land with collectors maybe 20, 30 years down the road?
Well, Pujols would be in my top 3 or 4 players that I've ever seen play in terms of just overall. I'd put Bonds number one, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
Griffey would be two. And then, probably somebody like Pujols. I remember at the 2011 World Series, I was at game 3, Pujols hit three home runs, and he hit one still that's orbiting the Earth. It hasn't landed yet. He hit it so hard. NASA's tracking that one still. But he is a generational talent, especially if you look not only at his power numbers, but he won several batting titles early in his career. He could hit for average, power, MVPs, you know, three, I guess he maybe won, something like that.
That sounds right.
And his Angels years were not, you know, they were kind of lackluster. So it put him in the back mind of a lot of people. And now this swan song that he's kind of gone through last year and now again, oh, I'm going to come back again. His rookie cards have really seen a price spike, you know, in the last couple of and that's good to see. It's deservedly so. He's going to be one of those remembered as, wow, I remember Albert Pujols, and oh my goodness, he was unbelievable. It's sad that a lot of newer collectors haven't seen him play at his best back in the, you know, basically the whole decade of the 2000s. He was right. The best player on the planet, you know, so that was cool to be a part of when I was that age. And I own all of his, you know, four or five different kinds of his rookie cards because I just think they're great.
Yeah. Just thinking too, that you mentioned there's a lot of collectors, a lot of younger collectors who maybe were either very young when Pujols first came up during the prime of his career, or just didn't get to watch him at all, and really only think of him as an Angel. The one thing that maybe for all these guys that I think is going to be a benefit, and not that there isn't footage of guys like, you know, Hank Aaron and Roberto Clemente, or obviously even Griffey and Bonds. But these guys are really that first generation of, like, cable television was playing every single one of their games. So literally every game of these guys' careers is recorded. It's somewhere. You can find the footage somewhere. So maybe that's an advantage down the road for a lot of these guys where you say, man, I don't know what he was like. Well, there's about, you know, thousands of games worth of footage to go watch these guys. So maybe that is an advantage for Pujols and Cabrera going down the road for vintage collecting.
Yeah, well, here's your challenge. Go out and find archival footage of all 700 of Albert Pujols' home run. Put them together in a montage. There's your 2 million view video right there.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a Cardinals intern right now who has been, right. That was their offseason plan. The moment that they got that, he signed. Get 680 home runs right now.
Go get them all strung together. Yeah. Cabrera is the same way. You know, he's closing in on 3,000 hits.
Yeah.
And he's got 500 home runs already. He's, again, a generational talent. Last guy to win the Triple Crown. First guy since 1967 when Yastrzemski won it. So Cabrera has done some things that make him an all-time great. And there's no question. And so if you're one of those guys that's collecting and you're like, you know, I just haven't gotten around to picking up their cards yet, don't sleep on it. Don't. Oh, I'll get it later. You'll regret that decision. I promise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now's the time to do it.
100%. And I think with Cabrera, I think there's a lot more that is attainable at a price that doesn't seem to me doesn't seem far-fetched for the type of career he has had. You mentioned all the accolades, the Triple Crown. He's going to be the seventh player all time, I believe, to be 3,000 hits and 500 home runs. And I think the other thing that's an advantage for both him and Pujols as part of that group is these are the first two that, you know, knock on wood, are doing this without a cloud of suspicion over them. A-Rod is in that group. Palmeiro's in that group. So we haven't had a guy reach that milestone while having nothing against them, at least when it comes to steroids. So I think he's got that work in his favor for a really bright future. I think he's really underrated right now. A lot of his stuff his singles on the secondary market, I think Cabrera is severely underrated.
For sure.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys like there's this window of time that you have that we're in right now with a few guys that I think is incredibly important to take advantage of as a collector. And that's their window between retirement and Hall of Fame induction, because you've got 5 years, you got to wait. And a lot of these guys just kind of, again, they're not making headlines anymore. So nobody's talking about them, and they're just not at the forefront of people's minds. So you've got Ichiro in that category. You've got Adrian Beltre is in that group.
Yeah.
Even A-Rod, you know, A-Rod will get in the Hall of Fame someday. I mean, it is not a question of if, it's when, and does it take 10 years? Is he going to go the Bonds route where they have to, you know, especially now that Big Poppy's in? I mean,
oh yeah, kind of
opens the door for some other things to other players to get in that might have been on the precipice before. Outside looking in, but that window of time where they're retired but not yet in is a great time to be picking up guys like that.
Yeah, 100%. I was going to say, you know, I've got we've got Bond stuff all over here. So yeah, that's definitely a tender subject around here, the Bonds candidacy. But I think he's in the veterans. He's up for the veterans ballot for the first time this fall. And I've held out that I think that's how he's getting in. I actually think he's going to get in that first time, that if it's his former teammates voting him in, I think it ends up I think that's how he gets in. But
I don't think he'll make it the first
time.
I think he'll make it the second time.
Okay.
Which will be another 4 years, by the way. But yeah. I think he should be in. I mean, there's no question Bond should be in the Hall of Fame, along with Clemens. And you know, it's just ridiculous that they're not. There's a lot of guys talking about, you know, Pujols and Cabrera. There, what's even more amazing is how many pitchers there are pitching right now that if they retired tomorrow would be in the Hall of Fame. And I think there's pitchers are so overlooked in the hobby just because they just are. And you've got some literally all-time greats. You've got, well, you got one guy in the window, which is Sabathia. You know, he retired. He's kind of in that dark window. And then you've got Kershaw, Scherzer, Verlander, Greinke, Bumgarner. You've got a lot of guys that are Bumgarner maybe the most stretch of those.
Right.
But Verlander's getting in, Kershaw's getting in. They could be done tomorrow and they're getting in the Hall of Fame because of what they've done. Those are great guys to be picking up and looking for right now. I mean, when do you want to wait till they get in the Hall of Fame? That makes no sense. And they're all no-brainer guys, all clean guys, you know, none of them have the cloud of suspicion, as you mentioned earlier about some players. I mean, look at what Kershaw just did the other night. I mean, he ain't going anywhere. You know, he still got it.
Yeah.
Perfect game through seven. And God, that was another question.
That was a heartbreaker. I say that as a Giants fan, heartbreaker. I wanted to see him go at it. He did say after the game that, look, if I had about two or three more weeks of spring training, maybe I go out there a little longer. But, man, just, you know, even if the next guy he walks him, then take him out. Like one thing when it's a no hitter, he's throwing a no hitter, a perfect game.
Right.
That's tough. That was tough to swallow. But you know, it's funny. Last week on the podcast, we talked about all these guys that you mentioned, these pitchers that I think almost across the board are really underrated, especially Greinke, who I think a lot of people are only now realizing, like, oh yeah, he has put together a Hall of Fame career. He's bounced around a lot, which I think kind of clouds that, but he really has put together a great Hall of Fame career. And it's funny too, because I think about if you even asked a lot of fans maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, oh yeah, pitchers, they're not going to hit those stats anymore that gets them in the Hall of Fame. It's going to be interesting to see what's the next generation of pitchers that makes the Hall of Fame. And I mean, we're, you just listed
them.
Yeah,
we're seeing them.
Exactly. We just watched him.
Yeah, DeGrom, he's in now. He could get in. He'll get in right
he's
now.
He's close. He's close.
No, I think he's done enough.
Yeah.
Because again, I think pitchers have to do less than a hitter. They're just expected to do less. I don't know that that's fair or not fair. It's just how it is. I don't vote. So I'm just telling you that DeGrom has done enough, I think, to get himself in the Hall of Fame already. So there's this great group of pitchers that I think are highly overlooked in the hobby. Unless, again, you're a team fan of that, who they pitch for. It's pretty amazing. And you got a guy like Scherzer who went, you know, Tigers, did a lot of great stuff, Nationals, now with the Mets. If you're a team guy that loves that team, do you really still love Scherzer if you were a Tigers fan or a Nats fan? Or, you know, those allegiances can shift if they're not wearing your uniform anymore, you become less of a fan. So unlike Kershaw, who's played with the Dodgers his whole life, his whole career, Scherzer is one of those tough guys. No, not anybody's collecting him, because if you're not a purely Scherzer guy, right?
Right.
And you're a Nats guy or a Tigers guy or whatever, you're kind of, okay, I'll collect him in his Nats uniform or whatever, but that's it. You know, and pitchers are just weird anyway in the way the hobby treats them.
So. Yeah. I totally agree. We need to have a nice pitcher's renaissance. And I was going to even say that for Scherzer, it really complicates matters. His rookie card is with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So on top of it all, and by the way, props to saying Bumgarner deserves to be in that conversation. Maybe the regular season numbers aren't there, but give me a better postseason pitcher. It's going to be hard. It's what he did, I think, puts him in that, at least in the conversation, maybe for some consideration down the road. I do want to talk about two other guys before we move on to the next topic. You mentioned him earlier, Ichiro. This is a guy that I think is still, it's one, maybe it's because like his autograph looks so good that when you pull like an autographed Ichiro card, it still gets me as excited as like any player. He was one of my very favorites growing up. I loved Ichiro, just loved his style of play. Threw out the first pitch this weekend in full uniform. So he is eligible in 2025 unless he wants to play again, which I saw him on Sunday. He looked good form. He looked good. He fit the uni still. Like, gosh, if he wanted to play right now, he'd probably still bat like 270, 280. Probably be fine. To me, he's a guy that I think if he's going to have a because I think there's something about him, not only that he was such a popular player, but it was such a historic moment too. Really the first Japanese position player to become a huge star in baseball. I think that kind of elevates him too when we're talking down the road, where do his vintage cards land in this pantheon that we're talking about. To me, he's right up there with Pujols.
For sure. And it's great that he and Pujols have rookie cards in the same year, lot of the same sets. That makes it kind of Mantle and Mays-esque, right? The Mantle rookie is 51 Bowman. Mays' rookie is in 51 Bowman. So it makes all the 01 stuff really fun, because you've got two great cards to chase after, not just one, which is like Kershaw and Scherzer, right? They're in the same set.
Yeah.
2008 Topps Update rookie cards in that. So that's just – it's kind of cool when the stars align that way for the card world, and that kind of stuff happens. But Ichiro, Inner Circle Hall of Famer, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It goes beyond, to me, goes beyond baseball, what he did, what he represented. And obviously to do what he did in Japan too, and be, just incredible wherever he was playing and for how long he did it. So the last guy I'll talk about is a guy who's still got a lot of years in him, but he's off to such a good start. And, you know, I did a video on our YouTube channel where I was saying, to me, Mike Trout is still the number one guy when it comes to modern baseball cards. And there were a few comments saying, it's Shohei now. It's Juan Soto's going to lap him. Trout's days are done. And then Mike Trout, I think he's got a 972 OPS to start the season. I know he's day-to-day after that hand injury. So thank goodness. It sounds like he's going to be okay. We're going to see him back in uniform and on the field pretty soon. But, yeah, to me, he is like in that. He is obviously among rare collecting. He's in that rarefied air where he is just like untouchable. Like if you want to try to buy a Trout card, good luck. There might not be a lot of options that are affordable at this point. But where does this go down the road? Like where, I guess for him, for Pujols and Cabrera and Ichiro, like it feels like, you know, their floor of where their value is for collectors is pretty much set. And I think, you should, if you can find some stuff now, it'd be a good time to buy if you can. Whereas Trout, I feel like even if he is, he retires tomorrow, I think he's a Hall of Famer. And if he ends up having the next 5-6 years, those stats are going to look even better. But I do wonder, like, where does he go down? How low does he go where his floor is compared to these other three guys that we talked about?
Well, Trout's always been an interesting case because, you know, his 2011 Topps Update card has been one of that it's gone nuts. And it's one of those, it's a great case for current collectors watching current, that love collecting the current players. And for the last decade, Trout has been the best player in baseball. And it's not even close. right? I mean, it wasn't even close to saying he could have won probably several other MVPs. I think they gave him to other guys, just, you know,
got tired of voting for him.
Yeah, it was, all right, not another Trout MVP. You know, which is, I mean, if look at the numbers, it's, there's no question he could have been MVP probably in six of his seasons already, yeah, pretty easily. So again, best player in baseball. Well, he's not going to have, the next decade's not going to look like the first decade. Case in point, look at Albert Pujols.
Right.
Right. And that doesn't mean he won't be great or good or very good. I saw him hit a ball the other day against the Rangers that, good grief, it just,
oh my gosh,
rocketed off his bat and left the yard in such a hurry. And I just went, yep, give me Trout. I'll take, yeah, Trout over. And I love, so I think Soto's of the next generation, like, because you can really go generationally, right? Or, and a generation's about a decade in baseball. So Trout's the best of his generation. I think Soto, who came up, you know, in 18, 19, he's going to be the greatest of the next generation that goes for the next decade. But the decades, the generations always overlap. You know, you've got Trout still doing his thing. You've got these new guys, Soto and Acuna and Tatis and all these guys, that, Guerrero for sure, that are making waves. And they're, it's a great crop of young players in baseball. Probably the best we've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Of this great talent that is playing baseball. Ironically, most of it's Latin, right? And that's great. You had Ichiro, who was Japanese, and Pujols, who was Latin. You've got Cabrera, who's Latin. Nobody cares anymore, like, who it is, like, where they're from. Can you hit a baseball or pitch a baseball or whatever? How good are you? I mean, I just love that baseball is such a diverse sport in terms of,
yeah,
just players coming from all kinds of walks of life and backgrounds and everything. I went away from the Trout thing for a second, but Trout is the man now. He will be the man until he's just not anymore, which again, I think might be 3 to 5. What?
Yeah. But at this point, I'm not betting against him.
Cards, I would not either. He's been, you know, injury bug has bitten him a couple times, but, and that'll only get worse probably, but, his cards, like, you can still buy a pool. You can buy two or three Pujols rookies for the same price as a Trout.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me. But it's never made sense. It's never made sense that newer stuff is worth more than older stuff. And again, it's a, can you watch him now? And is he great now? And Trout is, that's why his card's still, what, $2,500 for a 10?
Yeah. His, somewhat.
2011 rookie. Sheesh. But it was 7,000 just about a year ago.
Yeah. So now it's a relative bargain is what you're trying to tell. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It'll be very interesting to see what happens here. If he does have some down years over the next few years, I hope he doesn't, because he's really fun to watch. It's been incredible. It's been a thrill to watch this guy play, and these other guys that we mentioned as well. But I think it does kind of put it in perspective when you say that you can get three Pujols cards for the price of one Trout. And if you praise it to me that way, to me, it's not even a question which way I'm going with. I'm going to go with the guy who's just a few home runs away from 700, Albert Pujols. So it's a fun time right now for baseball fans with all those guys really doing some incredible stuff on the field, putting up Hall of Fame worthy careers and Hall of Fame worthy numbers. And I think definitely if you're a collector, all those guys, especially the three we talked about, those first three, Ichiro, Cabrera, Pujols, I think, I'm not going to say bargain, but certainly represent something of value where I think it can definitely grow here over the next 5, 6, 7 years for those guys.
At worst, you're not going to lose your butt.
Right.
Right. Exactly. And that's the thing about vintage. It's always been true about vintage. Vintage is the tortoise and the modern players are the hare. And I've read Aesop's Fable. I know who wins the race. And so I've put my, I don't know, hobby money towards vintage, just because I feel like it's just better spent, you know, than trying to chase the next big thing. And I own Soto rookies and I own Tatis, but I'm not like just plowing into these guys.
Yeah.
Because look at Acuna, got hurt, still not back, right?
Right.
I mean, who knows if he'll be the same player? Hope he is, you know, but may not be. And I've seen it over, you know, my 48 years of being on this planet and 40 years of being a baseball fan. Guys come and go. I told you about the 80s. Remember Kevin Moss? And I mean, there's so many guys that I could name and rattle off that were supposed to be great. Greg Jeffries. Oh, wait, they weren't.
Yeah.
And that's exactly. Going to happen with some of these new guys, and people are going to get left. Oh my gosh, I put so much money into this guy, hoping they'd turn out. It's a crapshoot, and I just don't want to. I'm too old to play that game anymore. It's no fun.
I hear you. I totally hear you. Yeah, for every guy we're talking about here, for heck, you know, Wander Franco's having a great start to his career, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him start this season off on the same foot. But for every Wander, there's about 10 to 20 other guys, you know, some of those guys you mentioned where they're just not going to click. And hey, that's the name of the game. All right, let's move on to our final segment, wrap things up. A little like buy, sell, or hold. We're calling it the taxi squad. Here's who's on the taxi squad this week. Basically, who are we calling up? Who are we buying? Who are we sending down? Who are we selling? And who are we holding on for guys who are some of the big performers over the last week, or in this case, the beginning of the season? I want to start with a Cleveland Guardians, Jose Ramirez, who I think was a hot pick by a lot of collectors saying, he's super undervalued. Why is Ramirez so undervalued? Then he signs the big extension. I want to say it was 7 years, $145 million. And I mean, almost immediately, I saw a recorded sale of his Topps Chrome rookie Superfractor auto sold maybe about a day before officially announced the contract, but we knew the contract was happening. Sold on eBay for about $20,000 on April 16th. His chrome gold numbered rookie sold for about number to 50, I should say, PSA 10, sold on April 13th for about $1,000. But you can still find some of his chrome refractor graded rookies for about $500. And then some chrome refractor PSA 10 rookie autos, I should say, for $400, $500, and regular base for $325 at PSA 10. He's an incredible player. Just saw him this weekend playing against the Giants. Cleveland's offense did not do much. He was still great and does it all. Where are you at on Jose Ramirez? You buying, you selling, or you holding on?
I would
Cleveland?
Be a buyer of Jose Ramirez.
Yeah.
Go look at his career. I mean, he's not a flash in the pan. He's not like that other Guardians guy that they called. I don't even know his name.
We talked about Stephen Kwan, who I just found out is a Bay Area kid. So he's from our neck of the woods. So I'm rooting for him a little more. Had a tough weekend, though.
Yeah, he's got to do a little more for me to actually remember his name.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Ramirez is not that. He's been doing this for, you know, 6 or 7 seasons now. He's not a flash in the pan. I would be a buyer of Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's still got a lot left in the tank. It is crazy how quickly things turned the moment they signed that extension, because I think that might have been it. There was a lot of worry maybe among collectors who didn't want to make a big investment in him, thinking, well, he'll be out of Cleveland in a year or two, which I was certain he was going to get traded this offseason. So one, good on that organization for kind of bucking the trend of some of those other sort of quote unquote, you know, small market teams right now of investing in their future. So good on them. And yeah, totally agree. Guy is a superstar, does it all, steals bases, hits for power. Great story for them and a great young player for many years to come. I want to talk about the guy who I think is about to be the next rookie sensation for collectors, Seiya Suzuki of the Chicago Cubs. 4 home runs. He's been great. He has been as advertised so far. So,
yeah, I played against him in my fantasy league for this first week. He was on the other team, and he single-handedly beat the crap out of me. I was like, oh my gosh, every day it's like 2 hits and a home run here. And a home run. Yeah. He's, he might be the next Ichiro Suzuki, right?
Yeah. Out of Japan.
And you know, the more these players like Ohtani, Suzuki, there's going to be a flood of talent. I think it's not like there's not other guys over there that can play, that they can't play. There's tons of guys over there that can play. And I think there's going to be a lot more interest in major league clubs trying to bring over those Japanese, you know, high talent players. And Suzuki looks like he's the real deal. I don't know that I'd be buying him right now. He's off to a hot start. What cards does he even have, actually?
Yeah, that would be the thing. Is it's kind of a tough one to say buy or sell here. It's because there are really, for his rookie cards, all we have is the NPB, the Nippon Professional Baseball League in Japan. His rookie cards, there are a few out there. Various rookies looking anything graded 9.5 to 10, selling for about $500 to $790 of the recorded sales I could find. Don't know when his rookie is going to show up. Maybe series two, maybe more likely update. But I think there is going to be maybe not a Wander Franco level rookie chase here, but I think something fairly close. Especially if he keeps producing the way he's been so far.
Right. And I would hate to see Topps do something Wander-esque where they hold him out of all the 2022 products. That would be, or most of them anyway, that would be silly to me. Yeah. If he's playing well and he's playing a full season and he's a rookie, have a rookie card, you know, he's playing games, but his stuff's going to be expensive out of the gate. And I would cool your jets a little bit. If I'm advising someone, do I invest heavily in this guy when his cards come out, his American card, you know, his US stuff, MLB stuff, wait, don't jump on the bandwagon with everyone else. We've seen it happen too many times where you end up just costing yourself a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat with you there. No, I'm echoing a lot of your sentiments, but you're right. It's so early, one, and he just had a series in Coors Field. The ball tends to fly there. Oh, he does play in Wrigley Field, so once the summer months come around, that power maybe will be on display. I'm still a huge fan of the guy. I think he's probably the best power hitter to come out of Japan, maybe since Hideki Matsui. I think there's still a lot of upside here. Very, very exciting player. And you mentioned too, what's Topps going to do, because this is going to be a very interesting decision. They probably have already made that decision about when do we put Seiya Suzuki rookies, Bobby Witt, Spencer Torkelson, Julio Rodriguez. I mean, this could be the most loaded, I'm thinking probably update, maybe series two, but it's probably update, could be the most loaded version of Topps update baseball in a long, long time. And you have to think they're going to at least try to hold one of those guys back for one of these sets going down the road. So it's not just absolutely filled to the brim with these top guys that collectors have been going after these last few years.
Well, think about it. If you're Topps, why wouldn't you load up 2022 update? Getting ready for all the Fanatics stuff to happen. You want to have a hit product as you start heading into this new era with Fanatics. Why not 22 update? Talk about creating a frenzy around a product, and justly so for once, you know, instead of just fake hype. I mean, 18 update was pretty amazing, but it took a little while for 18 update to get what it is now. I could try to find a box of 18 update somewhere. You're going to pay a lot of money. So we have another opportunity to create a product like that in the here and now. And I mean, I remember in 18, I could go buy update all I wanted to on the shelves because it wasn't that big a deal.
Right.
If you do 22 update with all these guys and they all continue, obviously they've got to continue to produce or else it won't matter, but it could be a pretty special product. And why not now would be my question to the Topps.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, if you think about the timing of when update comes out, and I think a lot of collectors, if you're not just collecting baseball, you're collecting basketball and football, maybe you're starting to turn your attention towards those things. What a great way to make a splash when everybody's kind of switching gears than to have, I mean, four of maybe the most talked about rookies that we've had in a long, long time, all in one product. It would be, man, I would love it personally. It'd be incredibly exciting to get those guys. And at least, you know, Rodriguez, I think, is off to a bit of a slow start, but Bobby Witt has impressed. Spencer Torkelson has had some Incredible, some moonshot home runs, and obviously Suzuki may be the best of the bunch as of right now. Next couple guys I want to talk about, two veteran guys that I think are, one guy that I think is a little underrated, and another guy that I'm not quite sure where I land with him. Ozzie Albies of the Atlanta Braves is a guy that I think is very, very underrated when it comes to modern collecting. Plays second base, and I think among second basemen, I looked it up today where he ranks since he debuted. Games played, fifth games played since he debuted among second basemen. Third in home runs at that position, second in runs scored, second in RBIs. I think his stuff is pretty undervalued. There's some Topps Chrome rookie card refractors, PSA 10, selling for under that sold for under $100 for him right now. He's 25 years old. He's off to a good start. He's among the league leaders in home runs to start the year. He's going to be in Atlanta for a while, already with a ring. Where are you at with Ozzie Albies? Buy, selling, or holding on the Braves all-star second baseman?
Again, winner Albies rookie cards. What year?
I believe that would be 18. I think it's 18, right? Yeah, right. There it is again.
Lost in the shuffle. That's another guy. Guess who else had rookie cards in 18? Rafael Devers. You know what I mean? So there are – it's a loaded class. Again, how do you know it's loaded? You wait a few years and look back and go, yeah, that was a loaded class. Rarely do you have an opportunity like they have this year where it's a loaded class on the front end, right? And so – I think Albies is a buy. Second basemen are just generally underappreciated unless you are a Robinson Cano type talent. How many of those are there? Alfonso Soriano is another one I remember from recent past, but he never made a big hobby splash. He wasn't a big hobby guy. Neither is Cano, you know? So those are two of the best at the position in the last 20 years, and they don't have a whole lot of hobby love. He does play for the Braves. If they can continue to be successful, they won, you know, won last year. He's on a great team. But he's always going to be playing in Acuna's shadow.
Yeah, that is a fair point. And now you add Matt Olson to the fold, who has got off to a great start for them. Obviously, Freddie Freeman, much more of a fan favorite. But I think a lot of Braves fans are about to find out that Matt Olson is the real deal. He's a very, very good ball player. I think that might be you mentioned it with second baseman. I think that really is the one thing kind of holding him back right now. It's just the position he plays. I would argue, he's so young still. Like, he's been in the league for so long, it feels like already, but he's just barely, I think he's maybe 25 going on 26 this year. There's still a lot of time for him to get into his prime years and work in tandem here with Ronald Acuna Jr. So Ozzie Albies, I think an interesting guy to keep an eye on. And the last one I want to talk about is the man at the hot corner for the St. Louis Cardinals, Nolan Arenado, who I feel like before he went to the Cardinals, this is one guy where I think the trade benefited him for the hobby, because the moment he gets traded to the Cardinals, his stuff I saw was just skyrocketing for a second. And he is off to one of the best starts he has ever been on in his great major league career. I think he leads the National League in a batting average, leads MLB in slugging percentage and OPS. His paper base rookie cards at PSA 10 and BGS 9.5 sells for around $100. And his high-end stuff is very, very high. I'm not sure he's a buy at a lot of these prices, but I'm also wondering where are we at, I guess, with Nolan Arenado and where he's at in his career. Does he feel like we talked about those guys that are sort of definite Hall of Famers? He's not a definite guy yet to me, but he's also much, much closer than I think I even gave him credit for to maybe having a Cooperstown-worthy career.
Yeah, he is. I would call him certainly on track for that. If he has one or two more good seasons, he could kind of lock up his seat, so to speak, lock up his place. Just always been known as a great defensive third baseman. Certainly can hit for sure, but he always had the Coors Field effect that people, but he plays in Coors Field, you know, which is kind of the same thing that has ridiculed Tom Heldman and Larry Walker and guys like that over their careers. And if he does it in St. Louis, probably the greatest baseball town that there is, what a great dovetail with, you know, Albert Pujols, and he's got Goldschmidt in the lineup. I mean, it's a great lineup, right? That's why he's hitting. So he's getting a lot of protection too.
Yeah.
So I would not be buying. I'd be holding Arenado stuff right now. I would not be buying it or selling it. I would just hold and kind of see if this can keep going.
Yeah, this is definitely the best looking lineup I think he has had in a long time in his playing career. Tyler O'Neill has really broken out and has become a really spectacular player. Maybe the most buff dude in baseball right now. The guy looks like he should be actually in a weightlifting competition and not playing baseball. Great players on that team, and you mentioned a great city as well in St. Louis. Should be very interesting to see where he ends up in his Hall of Fame career. You know, it just dawned on me too. It's like a guy who, because he is such a great offensive player, but defense first guys in the hobby. You've been collecting vintage, and where do you think like guys like Ozzie Smith and Brooks Robinson, defense first guys, how do they tend to do, or like where do you think they're kind of at with hobby love, and do you think they deserve maybe a little more?
Well, they don't get the hobby love. Yeah. Brooksy is one of those guys that if you ask any Baltimore fan, they're like, he's a god. You know, Brooks Robinson, Cal Ripken, like those are our guys, right? But overall in the hobby, not as much respect. Although if you're a vintage guy, you love Brooks Robinson stuff too. Ozzie Smith, a lot of guys poo-poo on his being in the Hall of Fame to begin with. Such a light-hitting shortstop. But such a whiz, no pun intended. He was the wizard. Defensively, I look at them all. And this is probably a great point to end on. Is I look at them all as they're all in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And their plaques are all the same size, and they all have the same amount of lettering on them and everything. They're all there, and how they got there, whether they were defensive specialists or power hitters or finesse pitchers like Greg Maddux, doesn't matter. They're in the Hall of Fame, and their cards are always going to be collectible. People are always going to want those types of guys in their collections.
100%. Whether you are Bill Mazeroski or you're Babe Ruth, you occupy that same hall. No question. Right. Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining me. Again, check out the YouTube channel. Links will be in the description. Mike, thanks so much for joining the podcast. Really appreciate it.
You bet, buddy.
Big thank you to Mike. Once again, make sure to go to YouTube. Check out The Baseball Collector. That is his channel. If you love vintage cards and you want to see some great stuff, not just baseball, but he also has some basketball stuff, some football stuff as well. Make sure to check it out on YouTube. Bench Clear Media, check that out on YouTube, and check out the podcast, The Golden Age of Cardboard. And of course, make sure to check us out, Mojo Break Media on YouTube. We post clips of this podcast, plus the hype and original videos every week. Make sure to go and like those videos and subscribe to the channel. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast if you're not already. The Mojo Break Sports Card Show. Mojo Break Sports Card Show. New episodes of Wax Packs and Warning Tracks every Tuesday. New episodes of our flagship show, The Hype, every Thursday. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. Cody Pasby signing off for another episode of Wax Packs and Warning Tracks. See you next week.